Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas on Friday, May the 11th. Today, we're going to catch up with our friend George Rodriguez from South Texas. We're going to take a look at this very interesting runoff that the Democrats have coming up on May 22nd. This is the runoff for governor between Lupe Valdez and Andrew White. It's a fascinating runoff because I haven't seen any commercials on television or much on the radio or anything about it. It's just kind of the quiet runoff, I guess we'll call it. We'll call it that. There's even a television debate today, Friday, May the 11th, but I don't think I can watch it here in Dallas. So it's a very unusual runoff. In Texas, you're kind of accustomed to a lot of radio, a lot of television, particularly radio, on these kinds of elections. And frankly, I haven't heard a darn thing about this runoff. So we'll see what's going on. Also today, a story broke here in the Dallas Morning News that Governor Abbott is running some ads, or at least one ad. I'm glad to see somebody's running an ad, but Governor Abbott is running an ad calling Lupe Valdez wrong for Texas, focusing a great deal on her record on sanctuary cities. So we'll see what that's all about. I do want to begin and refer you to a post that I have at the American Thinker today where I talk about the so-called blue wave. And it's interesting because in Ohio, they actually had a competitive primary, meaning each side had very intense competitive primaries. And at the end of the night, 200,000 more people voted in the GOP primary than the Democrats. So 200,000 more in a state that you can, you know, I mean, they have a Republican governor right now. That's true. They have a Democrat senator, a Republican senator. But I think Ohio has been seen over the years as a fairly competitive state. So the fact that 200,000 more Republicans would turn out, I don't know. That would suggest to me that maybe all of this talk about a blue wave is nothing but that, just a lot of talk. Let me say hello to our friend George Rodriguez. How are you, George?
Real good, buddy. How are you doing?
Good. The weather up here is well, it feels like a little warm, but other than that, it's lovely.
Yeah, it's starting to get a little warm here in San Antonio, or in South Texas. But it is a spectacular day. I mean, very few little clouds in the sky, and it's just fantastic, beautiful.
Yeah, it really is. It is just an absolutely beautiful day. Well, let's talk a little bit about this runoff between Lupe Valdez and Andrew White. As I mentioned, they have a televised debate tonight. I cannot pick it up, at least on television. I suppose you might be able to pick it up on the internet. I suppose you could. They'll probably stream it somewhere. But there's no, that I know of, no local television here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area that is going to carry this debate. What do you make of that, George? I mean, first of all, is that true? Is that true that nobody's going to carry it? Are you going to see it in San Antonio?
No, it's. I've checked it out, and apparently it's going to be televised closed circuit on cable with cable access that's apparently only available in the Austin area. So, you know, it is a very, very limited audience. It's a good question as to how the heck was that decision made and why it was made. The only thing that I can surmise, and again, this is my suspicious GOP mind at work, is that I think that this gives them an opportunity to be as liberal and leftist as possible in a poor part of Texas that is very, very liberal and leftist. And then after that, you know, they can go back to campaign that they've got going on. So
yeah,
it's been very, very interesting. I mean, let me add this. Let me add this
sure,
real quick because you mentioned Ohio, one of the other states that had an interesting runoff was also West Virginia. Now, I've, you know, that's kind of like my second home because I was HUD director for 8 years in West Virginia. You know, I've got a lot of friends there. And the curious thing, I mean, West Virginia has been the northernmost Democrat stronghold that the Democrats have had. Very, very powerful Democrat machine that has dominated West Virginia for almost 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they went overwhelmingly for Trump, as well as in this runoff, there was a Republican runoff and then there was a Democrat runoff. And what was interesting was that the Republican runoff pulled in just a tad bit about 2,000 votes more than the Democrat. And that was unheard of. They were in shock. They were in absolute shock in West Virginia over that. So, I you know, something smells, and it doesn't smell very good for this so-called blue wave.
Yeah. Well, I just, you know, it's 6 months away, so we don't want to count our chickens, or in this case, count our votes before they're cast. But for a wave, you don't tend to get the sense that one is coming. You don't have the metrics that generally support this. You have more and more.
Enthusiasm. No, and again, in the case of West Virginia, you had an incumbent senator who used to be governor, who is considered very much a moderate, and he barely won. He barely eked it out. I mean, he did win. But there was much more enthusiasm on the far left side, and if the far left would have capitalized on it, I guarantee that they would have been, you know. But you could write that one off for the Democrats. So you know, looking at what's happening in Texas.
Yes.
Looking at what's happening in Texas, the excitement. I just don't see it. I just don't see the excitement on our side, particularly in South Texas. You know, for somebody, for a Hispanic woman to be running. I mean, I saw much more enthusiasm when Leticia Vandepute was running, than I see enthusiasm right now. For Luca Valdez.
Yeah. Well, it's very interesting because this is from the Dallas Morning News that I'm talking about. They had a story today, as I mentioned, about an ad that Governor Abbott was running against Lupe Valdez, and I'm just going to read this. This is a quote from let me get this gentleman's name correctly. Whitman is his last name, but apparently he's with the Abbott campaign, and he says, quote, "Lupe Valdez is the clear front runner in the runoff, and our campaign will be ready to face her the moment she wins on May 22nd. That's from the Abbott. That's a direct quote from the Abbott campaign. And this ad that they ran against her was really interesting because it focuses on two things that are I think very good for Abbott. One is anti-life and pro-abortion. It's fascinating that Abbott would be coming at her in this direction because she is pro-abortion, and that, I think, is where the Democrats always get in trouble in South Texas. George, you know better than I do.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, Wendy Davis, when she ran a very, very strong pro-choice, as she put it, pro-abortion campaign, and when she came down here and lectured to folks, and that, you know, unfortunately, that's exactly how she came across. She was lecturing on how important it was for people to have the right for an abortion. It just didn't go over. It went over like a lead balloon, and she ended up losing several counties down here in the primary. She ended up literally losing several counties. So, you know, for Lupe Valdez to be branded that is not going to be very, very good. And she's going to have to defend it. I guarantee she's going to have to defend that. And, you know, you paint her into a corner like that, she's going to have to come out swinging.
Well, here's another interesting part that came out of the, again, I'm talking at the Dallas Morning News, an article by Robert Garrett, who's, I guess, the Austin Bureau correspondent of the Dallas Morning News. Here's an interesting one. It says, that Lupe Valdez responded to the ad by saying, quote, responded to her position on abortion by saying, quote, "My partner is a very strong independent chiropractor. For me to try to tell her what she should do with her body, she would tell me what to do with my mouth." End of quote. Now, wait a minute. I mean, so who's getting her partner pregnant? I'm trying to figure that one out. You know? Okay, I'm just trying to figure that one out. If she's her partner, right, and somebody else is going to get her pregnant, I don't know. Maybe I missed something and stuff going on in life today. But it sure looks to me like the Abbott campaign is convinced that Lupe Valdez is going to win. But, George, I have not seen any polling data whatsoever on this election. Maybe they're going to come out with some. Perhaps they will. And normally they do. But I haven't seen any, George. I have no clue other than the voters the first time around who gave her, I think it was 42 or 43% of the vote, George.
Right. I have not seen. I've been, you know, and I've spoken to a couple of my friends who are pollsters in Austin, in preparing for our interview here. Mm-hmm. I spoke to a couple of my friends, and they were telling me that the polls that they are doing are very, very limited.
Mm-hmm.
Because they do think that this is going to – that Lupe Valdez eventually is going to come out being such a leftist that, they won't have to do any more – I mean, they don't have to do any real research. They'll just let her talk and use her own words against her.
And there's probably plenty of that. There's probably plenty of quotes. But she's got two great vulnerabilities once she gets into the general election. Clearly, the social issues are not going to help her. I'll put it that way. They're not going to help her because, as you say, Hispanic women, and I think women in general in Texas are more conservative when it comes to that issue. But I do think, George, that the one issue that is going to hurt her a great deal is sanctuary cities because she's really in a no-win situation. If she says, yes, I support sanctuary cities, and I'm committed to, let's say, changing SB4, I think that's a loser. But if she comes out and says, I don't like it, but I'm going to be the governor and I have to enforce SB4, then her base isn't going to like that. So I think she's in a no-win situation, George.
I do, too. On sanctuary cities – she has already, that was the other thing I was talking with my friends about, was she has already come out very, very strongly on that issue, even going so far as to defy the governor with her stand in Dallas County as the sheriff. And so that issue, I think, is already out there, and she's going to have to defend it. I just don't see how she can back off of it anymore. She's going to have to defend it, and the question will be how the heck is she going to be able to defend it with the majority of Texans? The other issue, again, is this issue of her and the and being pro-abortion. One of the questions, my understanding, was that at one point was thrown her way early in the primary, early in the campaign, was whether or not she supported a sanctuary city for against abortion. And, she laughed it off and, a lot of people groaned and hissed at the person that was asking the question. But she is going to be put in a rough position, in my opinion. She really is going to be put in a rough position.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think she's in a no-win situation because whatever position she takes, she either loses most of the public or she turns off her base. And, I mean, when you're in Lupe Valdez's situation, you really have got to keep your base energized. And if she loses any of it, I mean, we may be looking here at a pretty significant landslide. Let me ask you another question, because I suspected, or I said in this article that I wrote about Ohio and the votes and all of that, that I said that the only wave that perhaps is happening in the country right now is a wave within the Democrat Party of, in a sense, a wave pushing the Democrat Party to the left, to a left that unfortunately makes them unelectable. How do you feel about that?
No, I agree 100%. That's the wave that I do see. I see more and more the push to the left. That's what, again, that's what the Democrats in these four states that just had primaries yesterday or day before yesterday, every single one of the Democrats, the Democrat primaries, the Democrats were being pushed to the left. It's going to be very, very interesting on that as to how the Democratic Party survives such an active, vocal, and in some cases vicious push to the left by the leftist activists. How it's going to survive? Because let's remember 1972, classic 1972, when George McGovern ran, and George McGovern was the product of at that point the most liberal leftist Democrat organization, Democratic Party organization that we had that the nation had ever seen. And these folks make that look conservative. So
because you're right. I'm sorry. Go ahead and finish. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It'll be very, very interesting because, these folks make those folks look conservative.
I agree, and you're right, because I mean George McGovern was anti-Vietnam War, but he was in many ways very traditional in his beliefs. I don't know this for a fact, but I would guess he was probably pro-life, which was where the Democratic Party was at that time. And I just think that, you're right. But what I – here's, the way I look at Texas coming up May 22nd. I think that what's going to happen is that there's going to be a very low turnout in that runoff. Very low turnout. Might even be less people than voted the first time around. A couple of factors at play. Number one, I think everybody's assuming that she's going to win. Number two, I think more and more Democrats in Texas are beginning to realize that they're going to lose. So, I don't know who's going to give money to the Lupe Valdez campaign. They're going to have a very hard time getting anybody to contribute. My guess is that the National Party will soon realize that there's no hope here. So what's the point of wasting their money? Maybe Beto can give her some money because he seems to have a lot of it. But I don't know. I mean, I don't see this campaign going very well. And I admit up front that I'm a partisan and everybody knows that. But I'm trying to be as objective as I can. I don't see this campaign going very well at all, George.
No. And right now we're talking about the Lupe Valdez campaign.
Right.
Where is Andrew White? Where is that campaign?
You're right.
Talk about covert. Where is Andrew White? And Andrew White apparently is running, a very quiet campaign because he has two qualifications that are not very popular in the Democratic Party nowadays. He's a white male.
That's right. Yeah, it's kind of tough. You're right. I mean, he has to say, hey, I'm the face of the Democrat Party. He looks around. he's not going to really. But to me, Texas a lot better than I do, having been born and grown up here. If anybody had said to you 20 or 30 years ago, when the Democrats were nominating people like Mark White, the Andrew's father, or
exactly.
other Democrats, or for that matter, even the lady who became governor, whose name escapes me at the moment, Ann Richards.
Ann Richards.
Ann Richards. Yeah.
Richards,
if, you know, Ann Richards was, you know, I mean, we may have disagreed with her, but she's a pretty tough candidate. I mean, she was, you know, she could get 50% of the vote in an election, which is, you know, pretty important. But yet, since that time, since 1984, I don't think there's a Democrat running for governor who's gotten more than 45% of the vote. And I thought they had nominated better people before. I mean, when they nominated this fellow Sanchez, I thought he was a lot better than Lupe. When they nominated this other guy against Bush the second time around, I thought he was a much better candidate. And to some extent, where, you know, I disagreed obviously a great deal with Wendy White, but Wendy White was a better, Wendy Davis, I mean, was a much better candidate, much more telegenic, much better candidate than Lupe Valdez. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen on the 22nd. I'm just predicting a very low turnout, George.
Well, you know, and I think, you know, if there's any enthusiasm and impetus happening, unfortunately, the reality that I see is that it's coming from the media, from the left of
yes.
media, the Texas Tribune, Dallas Morning News, San Antonio Express, you know, the outside forces, the bloggers, the leftist bloggers
mm-hmm.
are really, really, you know, they're, in my opinion, they're the ones that are in driving the enthusiasm and all this talk of the blue wave.
Right.
And that's why, you know, we talk about it, but we look around and we go, well, where is it?
Right. And it's going to be very interesting to see who the Dallas Morning News endorses in this runoff. They usually endorse candidates in runoffs. And then, of course, they do an endorsement later in the general. But it's going to be very interesting who the Dallas Morning News endorses because, you know, they've endorsed Lupe Valdez before for sheriff. But this is a totally different game. And I'm anxious to see. Maybe they'll do it on Sunday before the, you know, before the early voting begins. But it'll be very interesting to see who they endorse. I honestly could see them endorsing Andrew White, simply because they feel that he would have a better chance. Which, by the way, I agree too. I think Andrew White being a businessman.
Yeah, I would agree too. I think he would. Yeah, I think he would run a whole lot better, wider, and deeper in
right.
Texas than Lupe Valdez.
Absolutely, and he's a businessman, so he can come at it that way. He doesn't have all the baggage of sanctuary cities. But I think the deal breaker, I mean, the issue that just breaks the back of any Democrat candidate for governor is sanctuary cities. And if one Democrat candidate were to come out and say, look, it's a law of the state, and I have to enforce it. If you want to change it, fine, but it's a law of the state and I have to enforce it. I think that guy might have a chance, but I'm not sure Andrew White is even saying that, George.
No, and I think, you know, again, if they say that, if they say, well, it's the law of the land and we'll have to change it, and until then I have to enforce it, I guarantee that the far left of the Democratic Party would have a meltdown, absolute meltdown. You know, because they're all resistant. They are all about resistance.
That's it, and that's it. They're all about, you know, resistance for the sake of resisting. I mean, they don't really have any real definition as to what they stand for. I mean, I want to read this to you, just to sort of put an exclamation point on what I'm talking about, resistance. This is again from Lupe Valdez, who apparently said that her campaign was about helping, and I'm paraphrasing, but she said her campaign was about, you know, helping the little people against, here's what she says. I know firsthand, I'm quoting here from the article, I know firsthand the importance of looking out for all of Texans, not just corporations and well-connected CEOs. The new Texas that I'm fighting for is one where all Texans have opportunities to succeed. There is nothing too liberal about that. Well, I think there is, actually. but that kind of gives you an idea that, I mean, if that's all she can say, she doesn't have much of anything in her tank. And it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting because I thought at this stage of the game that the Democrats would have been in better shape, but they're not. That's all I can say. They're not, George.
Yeah, I'm telling you, this is a very, very strange campaign that the Democrats are running at this point. And
I agree.
It's fascinating because I think it shows, it really does show the confusion and the angst that they're facing in trying to sell such a radical leftist point of view.
That's right. No, I think you're 100% right, George. I think you're, we'll see how it goes. But I think you're exactly right. I think you've got this one very well understood. Well, good friend, take care of yourself. Have a wonderful Friday night, and I look forward to our next chat.
Thank you very much. You take care, my man.
All right. Thank you very much. Our good friend George Rodriguez down in South Texas talking a little bit about this campaign. This very strange runoff here between Lupe Valdez and Andrew White. We're going to take a little break. I want you to hear from my friend Carlos Guedes, and then we'll be back.
This is Carlos Guedes Harpy. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Sissiki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Sissiki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we have a link to all of that on the show information. Right under the show description, you will see a link to Carlos' website so you can get an update on where he's playing tonight and over the weekend and during the week. He's playing everywhere. I mean, he's in tons of places bringing his good music to your dining. You know, you sit there, you have a wonderful meal, a fun meal, and in the background you hear Carlos. He's just absolutely great. Well, just a quick note on this day in history before we go. Irving Berlin was born on this day in 1889. He lived to be 101. He died in 1987. This is one of the truly amazing musical stories of the 20th century. He was born in Russia. He came to his parents to the United States. I think he was a young boy when he did. Grew up in New York City and, of course, became one of the great composers with songs like White Christmas, you know, the one that Bing Crosby made famous. Also, God Bless America is another one of his amazing, always, that song that Patsy Cline made famous. I mean, this guy has a collection of songs. He must have over 100 songs that he wrote in his amazing career. So Irving Berlin, I always thought it was interesting. It tells you a great deal about the American story that perhaps the most popular song in the United States, or about the United States, I should say, God Bless America, would be written by a man who came here from Russia when he was a child. I think that tells you a great deal about the American story and how people from other countries came here, fell in love with the country, and then wrote about the country, in this case, God Bless America, one of the greatest American patriotic tunes of all time. Thank you for listening, folks. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. We'll see you on Sunday night with our good friend Bill Katz, the editor from Urgent Agenda. Bye-bye, everybody.